And in a minute, we're going to look at the story of Ruth, who in the Bible shows us that she was also an alien in a foreign land. And we're going to look at that story. Now, we're going to look at Ruth 2, but before we do that, I just want to fill in a bit of the backstory, as they say, the prequel. This is about a man called Elimelech and his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They lived in Bethlehem, but there was a huge famine in Judah, and so they were forced to move to Moab. And Moab was a country away, away, and it was the people of Moab were quite despised, but they had to go there to find food so their family could survive. And while they were there, the two sons married two Moabite women, one called Ruth and one called Orpah. But unfortunately, shortly after the family arrived there, Elimelech died. And so Naomi was a widow. But then after about 10 years, the two sons also died. So there were three widows. There was Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. And they struggled, as widows did, particularly in those times. But Naomi heard that the famine back in Judah, back in her hometown of Bethlehem, had ended due to the goodness of God. And so she decided to travel back home because there was food there and to be with her people. And she tried to persuade Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab because that was their land. But Ruth had actually grown to really love Naomi and really grown to love her God. And so she decided to go to Bethlehem with Naomi. And they returned to Bethlehem at the start of the barley harvest. And we're going to pick up the story in Ruth chapter 2. And I tried kind of thinking, what could I leave out of this? But I couldn't. So you're going to have to sit back comfortably, and I'm going to read Ruth chapter 2 to you. So they're back now in Bethlehem at the start of the barley harvest. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and have a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Now you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you didn't know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You've given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, He even said to me, Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So, it's a wonderful story, and if you don't know the ending, you must read the rest of the book. It's a fabulous story. And I want to start off, I want to start off by just looking at that verse 4 to start with. So when Boaz arrived from Bethlehem to go to the fields to see his harvesters, he greeted the harvesters and he said, The Lord be with you. And the harvesters called back, The Lord bless you. And this was a kind of traditional greeting in those times, and we see it at many places in the Bible, that they greet each other and they bless one another. But we start off with Naomi and Ruth here feeling very far from that blessing. They felt like so many people do today. They just felt that they'd got nothing to be thankful for. They felt literally outside, on the edge, on the margins. And yet through that chapter 2, and then again right to the end of the book, we see how God works in their lives through Boaz and his community, so that they're drawn in from the margins and into the centre and actually find God's blessing again. So how does Boaz do this? And there's just three things I wanted to pick up on. Firstly, they were helped to be moved out of food poverty with dignity. They weren't given just handouts. Ruth was enabled to work and glean the grain for herself, so they had enough food. And in the book of Deuteronomy, in the laws, we find the law of gleaning. And it was a way of God making sure that the poor could gather food from the edges and the corners of the field. It was left on purpose for them. And you might say, well, that's great then, but we can't do that today. How could we help the poor of our community and the poor of our world by getting the combine harvesters to leave little bits so people could go and gather it? What would they do with it when they got it? How would they turn that into grain and into bread, etc.? But there are ways in which we can help people. We can donate money to charities, and lots of us do. We donate money so that people can have food, so they can be lifted out of food poverty. We can also support tradecraft. We saw the notices was about a tradecraft stall that we have here every few months. And that's a way of enabling people to get a fair price for their produce and their labour, again, with dignity. And in our own community, what can we do to stop food waste? That might be another thing that we can think about, how we could perhaps lobby our supermarkets to donate food that's just outside its sell-by date. And there are organisations that are starting to do that. There are cafes that are being sent up to actually cook that food and actually give it to those people who don't have enough to eat. Something like the Trussell Trust, which, again, we've given food for today, is a way of helping people with dignity out of their crises when they haven't enough to eat. And, of course, we can always offer hospitality. What we have, we can share with others. The second thing that Boaz does is he helps protect Ruth. She's kept safe in the fields. You can imagine an attractive young woman going into a field of men who are harvesting. It would have been dangerous. She might well have been taken advantage of. But Boaz says, stay with my girls, stay in my fields. And he ordered his men not to bother her, not to in any way cause her any harm. And unfortunately, we hear far too much today of people like Ruth who are refugees or who are migrants. They're exploited. They are not safe. They get little pay for long hours very often. They have poor housing. They're preyed upon by those people who want to take advantage of them. We saw in that short clip about how people in Lebanon are being helped. They're being kept safe. They're being given food. They've got some shelter. But more importantly, their children are being educated so that they will find a way out of poverty. And again, we know of the Philippines, and with PCF, we know that the school there is helping families living on that dump site with an education so that they can move out of that, and so they can work and they can feed themselves, they can become independent. And in that video, we saw the people of God in Lebanon sharing their blessings with thousands of refugees. And then the third thing, which is a thing that if you read on, you'll see the implication of it even more, is that Boaz acts as a kinsman redeemer, which is, again, an Old Testament law. I don't want to go into too much detail, but in each clan, there is somebody senior in the clan or in the tribe, in the community, who's responsible for protecting the interests of the needy members of their extended family. In ancient times, that kinsman redeemer would redeem them from slavery, buy them back out of slavery if they found themselves in that situation. They'd marry the widows of brothers so that they could provide an heir, so that their name and their family could carry on. That's just part of it. And eventually we find in the story, I'm not ruining it because I think you really all know it, Boaz marries Ruth as a kinsman redeemer, and so she is blessed and she goes on to have a child, and Naomi in turn is blessed. And through this, Ruth and Naomi are drawn in from the edges, again, right into the centre of a family and community life. And of course, we have to remember that this figure of the kinsman redeemer prefigures Jesus, who came as the ultimate kinsman redeemer, who came to rescue us from the edges, from the darkness of separation from God, and into the light and the centre of God's community and his blessing. So we kind of started the service being thankful and counting our blessings. But through this story, through the video, through what we hear in the media, we are aware that there are many who feel outside God's blessing. They're hungry. They're homeless. They're stateless. They're exploited. They're abused. They're living right on the edge of society. And it's all very well knowing these things with our head, but I think God challenges us to do something about it, to actually feel with our hearts and actually be so moved that we want to do something about it. And our challenge is, how can we be like Boaz was to Ruth and Naomi? How can we extend God's blessing and draw them into the centre of our community, into the communities of the places where they live, and more importantly, into the light and love of Christ? Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you how you can do that. There'll be time in a minute for a reflection. There's a reflective video, so you can think about that. But there is lots of ways that we can do it, and there are lots of people who have already do it. And just thinking of Calais, there's a group that went from this church a couple of times to the jungle in Calais and were providing practical help to those people, those refugees living in those awful conditions. We also know that there's groups of people from this church who have gone overseas to help in situations. A group that went out to PCF, to Manila. We went to Nepal. There's Abby and Paul in Taiwan. And even if we can't go, there's ways that we can support those people financially by giving practical help as they go and by our prayers. And we can give specifically to the Syrian situation through the envelopes today. But it's not just practically overseas that we can help, or financially overseas. We can help in this country, and we do, by food parcels with the Trussell Trust, by the clothing exchange, and by, hopefully, in the months to come, by our new venture of For Family. We can help families who are struggling. So we are really lucky. I don't like that word, lucky. We are blessed. We are blessed in all the things that we have. And we today have been thinking about how we can draw people from the margins back into the centre, others.